Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, 5 Ways to Master Horstman's Third Law of Interviewing, Part 1 of 2.
This guidance answers these questions. How should I behave during an interview? Must I smile during an interview? And how do I show a positive attitude during an interview?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Are you looking for career-changing skills this year? Our Effective Communicator and Effective Manager conferences deliver tools that you can use immediately. Find the conference that's right for you at manager-tools.com/training. Today we're re-recording one of our classic Career Tools Hall of Fame podcasts. Today we're talking about the 5 ways to master Horstman's third law of interviewing.
Yeah. It's been so long since I did Career Tools on a regular basis. And I remember writing this, 19 years ago?
Yeah, I think we recorded it originally or released it originally in 07, I think, if I'm
07.
Remembering that accurately.
Okay, so not quite. So, well, that's 19 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's 19 years, 2026. And I read it last night to get ready for the thing. And I was laughing because I spend all of my time when I'm coaching people telling them, hey, you got to smile. And here's the way you do it. I mean, this stuff, what we're going to talk about today is bread and butter stuff for interviewing. And if you think people more senior than you are better than you at this, you are wrong. There are people who naturally get this, and there are people who don't. And unfortunately, the data are really clear. If you don't engage in the right behaviors, interpersonal behaviors in an interview, you're going to be in trouble. And it just seems crazy that University of California, Berkeley, or Rice University, or University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, or University of Virginia, or Harvard, or Cornell person, super smart, great background, hard worker, you know, interesting extracurricular activities, can fail in an interview so easily. And it's because, I'll never forget, I had a guy come up to me and says, I'm going to struggle in interviews because I don't like smiling. And I said, why? Is it your teeth? Are you? He says, no, I just don't think, I'm not a smiling person. Too many smiling people to me are, they're fake.
Okay, sure. Disingenuous.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, oh, okay. I said, so you're not willing to change your behavior for an artificial situation like an interview? He says, no, I'm really not. I said, well, let's save the trouble. I don't need to offer to help to get you a job because you're not willing to engage in the behaviors that in this situation. I said, would you wear underwear to a formal event? Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. So you admit then that you're willing to modify your behavior for a certain scenario. He's like, yeah, I would. I said, but not this. He says, yeah, no, smiling is
the line.
Is the line. I'm like, okay, dude. And he ended up getting offers, but not the offers he should have gotten. No way. And people tell me all the time, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I'm like, okay. But you ask somebody to help you get ready for interviews, and these are the rules, and we're telling you the rules, and then you're saying no. And actually what I tell a lot of them is, it's okay if you don't want to do this stuff. It's totally okay, but you can't whine about the consequences. You don't get to eat your cake and then have it too, right? That is the old saying of, I want to have my cake and eat it too. That is not the quote. The quote is, you can't eat your cake and then have it too, meaning you don't get to eat it and then still have another one. If you consume your resource, you don't have it anymore. And people just, they want to not do what they don't want to do and then have things given to them because of other stuff. And it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. Exactly. And the timing of this re-record is really good. I mean, when the market is tighter than normal, that is mostly supply-driven, not demand-based, as it is right now. More people are looking for jobs than there are jobs to be had.
Oh, gosh. You know, a few years ago, I said it was the worst. I mean, it was like 6-7 years. Now this is, I'm not counting COVID. That's a whole different kettle of fish,
different
right?
Thing.
Yeah. This is the worst. It's worst in terms of what conversations I have with people, and it's worst in the numbers, particularly when you compare it to some things in the economy are going okay. I mean, the stock market is doing okay. It's a little off-putting in a way.
Yeah. I mean, when I hear now somebody tell me that they found a new job in 4 months, I'm shocked.
Shocked. Yeah. How fast, right?
Yeah. How fast, exactly. At how fast it was for them to find a new role, which is not, that's not how it used to be.
So I know I'm going to make us go long here, but I just want to ask you, okay, so you hear from one of our community members, hey, I found a job after just 4 months. What is the first thing your mind goes to as a key factor in helping him or her get a new job in 4 months?
Having a good resume.
See, I would have said network.
Oh, yeah. No, I think in the experiences that I have had, the conversations it's come up in, it was specifically around people whom I was helping to improve the resume of. So that's probably why the two are attached in my mind. I'm not sure that that's the cause.
Yeah, this is, I don't know, because I was a recruiter for a couple of years, this stuff is like, I just hate that interviewing is a black box, that people don't understand it. And I want them to understand it and then live within the system and use the system to your advantage in an ethical way.
Yeah. And folks, right now, I mean, because of this current, I want to say, job economy that we're living in, organizations are even more particular about hiring. They're more particular than they would have been at other times. And they were kind of particular to begin with. And sure, companies want great backgrounds with great accomplishments. But if you're interviewing in the next 6 months, what ability do you have to change your accomplishments?
Yeah, that's baked.
In you're six baked. Months, it's done. It's past behaviors. Exactly.
Yeah. And so that's what brings us to Horstman's third law of interviewing. Here's Horstman's third law. And I've had this conversation 10,000 times in my life. We will take, employers will take 90% less ability for 10% more attitude every day of the week. And so Sarah made the point about, you know, you can't change your accomplishments. Yeah, there's plenty you can't change. You can't change your degree. You can't change your GPA. You can't change your extracurricular activities or what job you had before or whatever. But what you can change is your preparation and your attitude. Even though we don't talk about attitude, we'll talk about specific behaviors here in a second, and your attitude of energy and enthusiasm in the interview. You have my word that if you bust your tail and you're in the top 10% in focused and professional energy in an interview, at least one of your interviewers will go back to their company and says, you know what? I know that things are tight. I know we don't necessarily need somebody, but we're crazy not to hire this person. This person is fantastic. They're a breath of fresh air. They're smart. They're prepared. They're willing to admit their mistakes and their failures and so on. I mean, if you're going to go through the interview, why not do the best you can at the last step in the process, right?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And folks, when Mark says we'll take 90% less ability for 10% more attitude, to be clear, it's a little bit of a stretch. I mean, it is a slight exaggeration by design. It's not technically true, 90% and 10, but the reason there's such a great distinction between these two variables is really to get people's attention.
Yeah.
Interviewing, as it's widely practiced, is a horrible system, to say nothing of how horrible it is relative to how important
exactly
it is to organizations and individuals. So important that we need every tool in our arsenal in order to be successful in this situation. So energy and enthusiasm expressed in the right way are huge in terms of our ability to be able to secure the role that we want to secure.
Yeah. It's a bit like, you know, I'm recording this with a Dodger cap and a Dodger sweatshirt on, two-time world champions. And it's a bit like the Dodgers or the Blue Jays playing eight innings and then giving up in the ninth. Like, you know, we don't need to put our best pitcher in there. We don't need our closer in there when it matters. Interviewing is about closing, which is a whole nother part of the interviewing series, right? About how to close. All right, so we have five ways to express your energy. And in each of the five, we're going to recommend specific practice steps for good reason. So we have five plus one, actually. We have a bonus one. And so the outline is smiling, handshake, voice volume, gestures, posture, and laugh.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, as Mark said, folks, we said five. There are actually six. It's by design. Don't worry.
Yes.
Don't worry. We know what we're doing over here. Okay. We're going to start with smile. Now, your smile will be the first thing the interviewer sees or notices about you. The moment they glance in your direction, they see, or not, for that matter, your smile. And if your interviewer, he or she, sees or notices anything else other than your beaming smile first, that is a strike against you.
Striking immediately, before you've even said anything. I've had interviewers, college interviewers used to come and they'd interview in hotels.
Candidates, you mean?
Yeah. Well, no, the interviewers, the companies would come to a hotel
for
a conference, right? And there would be a number of college kids there. And the interviewers would look through the peephole to see whether or not the kid was smiling. Oh, yeah. Or whether they're leaning against the wall across the hall, or whether they've got their arms crossed and they're pacing back and forth, or whether they just got a big old dumb smile on their face. And look, folks, for some reason, the human smile in our modern world has become, I think some of it has to do with cosmetic dentistry and a growing interest in, I would argue, a bit of a fetish around beauty and so on, that people compare each other's smiles because we're worried about our self-image, and self-image becomes important. You see all these Instagram influencers who have weirdly fake lives, making themselves look perfect with makeup or lighting, or, you know, even males with makeup on their body to make it look particularly good and so on. And smiling has become, in my opinion, in the modern world, in the last 20 years, in fact, something that a healthy portion, maybe 40%, maybe 30% of our professional community, and I don't mean managers, I mean the entire community of professionals worldwide, there is a growing number of people who feel that smiling is, to your point, disingenuous. It's plastic. It's fake. It's not real. And they refuse to do it. And yet, folks, we just want to be clear. We've talked about smiling a lot here, about its value, the need for it in, at certain times. And we understand that some of you are, maybe you're not opposed to it. If you're told a good joke, you will smile and laugh and so on. But we understand that, and this is particularly true for engineers, for D's and C's, right? I's and S's on the disc scale tend to smile more and D's and C's less. But people don't see smiling as who they are. They're more interested in projecting a stoic face. And a classic example is Paul, who used to work here, right? His face was always straight. Now, he would smile. In fact, we would joke that we would joke,
Paul smiled. Yeah,
exactly. Paul smiled. Paul Schwer. Paul, if you're listening, we love you. We miss you. Paul retired from us after, what, 17, 18 years working?
Yeah, I'm not even sure. In a long time.
Yeah, so we respect that your natural behavior is to not smile, to be more stoic. And we completely respect it. Now, some people would go further and say, look, I'm not going to do it, but I'm fine if other people do it. I'm not biased against smiling. It's just not the face I project to the world. They would say, I'm going to put words in my mouth, words in your mouth, folks. If you want to write me, it's mahorstman@manager-tools.com, and we can have a discussion about it. I love hearing from the community. They would say they're more focused.
Uh-huh.
Well, I smile a lot, but I think of myself as focused. But anyway, they're more intense. They're driven. They're thinking about work. They're solving problems as they go through the day. It's a game face. Right now, we're waiting for the college football national championship with Indiana and Miami. And Kurt Cignetti, the head coach of Indiana, which has turned her program around, is famous for not smiling at all on the sidelines. But he used to coach with Nick Saban, who also never smiled, even after they won, frankly. But look, all that is true, guys, and we get it, and we respect it, and you are completely entitled to be yourself, okay? But you got to be really careful about saying to yourself, I want to be the authentic me.
Yeah. And then I want this guy to also give me a job for that.
Exactly. And there are so many situations where if you were on a date with someone who you were maybe romantically interested in, and they told a joke and you said, no, I'm going to keep a stoic face. That frankly would be rude.
You could do it.
Yeah, you could. No.
The date would probably be over.
Right. Yeah. But the point is, people do it. They're like, no, that's not me. I don't smile. And Unfortunately, you have to understand that when you go into society, when you are in public, when you are in an even a private organization where you're associating with other people through your own choice, there are societal norms to be respected, to be understood and respected and behaved around. And an extensive failure to smile will be seen as a personality defect and potentially a character flaw, that you are not willing to show humor, show warmth. That's one of the reasons we smile at other people, to work with other people. And I've had this conversation hundreds of times with people, and there's just way too much evidence that smiling people do better than people who don't smile.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, Mark. I think the folks that have a tendency to lean towards the non-smiling category, they're more data-driven. So, folks,
yeah.
Those of you who believe that your non-smile is the right way to go, know that smiling reduces tension, diffuses conflict, increases attraction, increases compromise, and many other things. The data are voluminous. It is overwhelming. If you're a data-driven person, if you look at the data itself, you almost cannot not smile. Given the fact that you will be convinced, you must smile. People who smile achieve more with less effort and less conflict than those who don't. And you're going to be thought a fool if you know smiling works. You see the data and then you choose not to do it. And then you also complain about why you're not getting what you want.
Yeah, that's the thing that always gets me. The complaining. I don't care. You can behave any way you want, but don't expect to behave in way X when way X is not the most effective way in a group situation, and then complain about what you don't get. I don't think I've ever mentioned this before, but watching Pole Dark last night made me realize it, or night before last, maybe. I've always thought of smiling like I did swimming. I'm astounded at the number of adults that can't swim. And I'm astounded in the same way, because it is just a behavior, okay? You are not revealing your soul. It is just a behavior. And you can practice. In fact, we're going to recommend
you practice. It's a lot easier to practice smiling than it is swimming, I would say. But
Yeah.
swimming is harder, harder.
Yeah, right. Here's what I would say about it, though. They're both lifesavers. If you can't swim and you fall in, you're dead. If you go in an interview and you can't smile, you're dead. There are rare exceptions, but that's true. And look, we are talking about interviewing here. Keep in mind, if you haven't listened to our other casts about interviewing, interviewing is an artificial reality. It's designed by organizations to keep people out. That's the reason it exists, to find flaws with you. If you choose not to smile, you're saying, boom, here's one. You only need two or three more, and then you can walk away from me. Everyone is always asking me for inside information, for the scoop, for the real deal about interviewing, the one key thing to do. And then they hear that smiling is a key ingredient in expressing your energy, and then ignore it because of your own personality biases. In my opinion, it's galactically stupid. You cannot say, I need to know everything I can know about interviewing, and then say, oh no, I'm authentic me wouldn't do that. Okay, that's fine. You will be differentially less effective than the average person. And you may think that your 4.0 GPA or some other thing you did will get you what you want. And I'm reminded one of my very favorite sayings that I, having been fired myself, which is smile at people on your way up because you will see them on your way back down. If you're looking for the easiest, highest value behavior to increase a company's perception of your energy level, and you ought to in today's interviews, smiling is the holy grail. There's just no question about it.
If you're looking for more flexibility in your training schedule, our Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, and Effective Hiring Manager conferences are all available on video. This actionable guidance will come to you directly on your time. You can check it out at manager-tools.com/training. Under Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, and Effective Hiring Manager. Now, folks, I think I'm probably the perfect person in the world to teach you how to smile. Because I, when I started presenting for Manager Tools, had to teach myself to smile. So we have got some ideas about how to practice smiling. I assure you it works. It worked for me. From experience, we've learned that just looking in the mirror doesn't work.
No. Creepy. I tried it. I tried it 40 years ago. It didn't work.
Yeah. You got to get yourself on video. In this context, record yourself answering interview questions. For me, I recorded myself presenting. But it's that recording of yourself and that ability to go back and watch it. So what we would recommend you do to get yourself kicked off on this process is, overall, you're going to record yourself twice answering interview questions, once smiling and once not. And when I say not, what I mean is once doing it your normal, natural way. And then you're going to compare those two videos. Now, I would also say, because it's interview Q&A, it helps to have a friend help you out, a la ask you the questions, but you don't really need one. For the purpose of smiling, you can do it without.
Yeah. It used to be, by the way, when I was teaching this a long time ago, you had to have a video camera. Now you can just use your phone. And generally the video camera required stop and start and so on. People didn't want to use the remote. And so you had a friend come over on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon and you'd practice. Nowadays, you put your phone on a tripod or whatever and you have a remote and you start it and walk around back to the front of it and you can record yourself.
Yeah. Heck, I can even do it in front of my Zoom camera. I can record myself in my room alone.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like it's really easy to do it by yourself.
And that's interesting because when you record yourself sitting, it's different than when you're standing. It's fundamentally different. It's actually harder, folks, if you don't know this, it's harder to project your voice.
And project your energy when you only have body language.
Exactly. From
50% of your body.
Yeah, exactly. And not just that, but also people don't realize I just did it. I just spread my arms. And if you're on a Zoom call or a Teams call, your hands go out of the frame, depending upon how your camera is set up. Okay. So it's very easy to record yourself nowadays, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to record yourself twice, once smiling, once not, and then simply compare them. Do one interview where you just behave normally. You do whatever you're doing. Then do a second interview, same questions. You can say the questions and then start your answer, right? And this time, smiling more. Now, the way to do this is to have a sign, like a paperboard sign, like a 2-foot by 3-foot sign. It can be as small as a piece of regular paper, A4 paper, 8.5 by 11 paper, but you have to write it really big. Like if you wrote on a regular piece of paper and you used one of our Mr. Sketch markers, or a Sharpie, a really fat Sharpie, you might be able to do it. I would probably use, the size I would use is 4 pieces of 8.5 by 11
together.
That would be, what would that, 8.5, that'd be 16 inches by 22, 15 by 24, something like that.
Yeah, you want it large enough so that you can see it without ever having to look at it.
Yes, you want it to be in your view, in your frame, but you don't want to have to stare at it. That's a huge thing, by the way, we talk about when you get interviewed on video. I know I'm going kind of far afield here, but when you're interviewed by Teams or Zoom or whatever, you can have all of your materials on the screen right around and above the camera. And if you have them in big enough type, if they're typed, you can actually remember things without, you can still be looking at the camera or have it so close to the camera that if you look at the one thing you wanted a reminder of, you still get credit for looking at the camera. And it's a big cardboard sign or some poster board with just the word smile on it, okay? Write it big, so big that you don't even have to look at it. You want the reminder always there so that when you're pausing mentally, you'll be thinking about the right time to be smiling. And if you're worried about the amount of time this will take, we're worried about whether or not you're serious enough to get hired.
Yeah. It's worth a couple practices, folks.
It's only 20 to 30 minutes each time. And don't be surprised if the first time you do it, it's goofy. You look, it's awkward. Well, you're the first time you do anything, you suck at it. It's literally the human condition.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Okay, so now you've done your two videos, one normal you, one with the smiling poster board near you. So you're smiling periodically. And now the real value, folks, in this activity is the watching piece of your video. Now, you can see the difference between your normal you, and then if you watch the smiling one, you can see how that smile comes across as more energetic, more engaging, more personable, more warm. And while we can argue that these are good criteria, we can't argue that they are criteria.
Exactly. You may not like the fact that companies look for smiling as a form of energy and a form of approachableness and friendliness and the ability to communicate with other people. But the only way you can avoid that is to set up your own interviews for your own company and not use that as criteria.
Yeah, which comes with its own barrel of problems, I assure
you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and as I said, don't overjudge yourself the first few video tries. Being self-conscious about smiling is a bit like holding your arms at your sides to start a presentation. We tell this to people all the time. You can stand with your arms hanging loosely at your sides to start a presentation. People are like, it feels weird. It's uncomfortable. I should have, my hand should be somewhere. That's why people like podiums. Nope, looks just fine. You think you look weird, but you don't. The purpose here is for you to begin to smile much more as you practice, also that you can be less awkward feeling and actually less awkward in the doing when you're actually interviewing for the money.
Thanks so much for joining us, folks. Join us again next week as we continue this topic. Now help us help others and tell your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.